Yes, his eyes, and shaking him, perfect truth. Seldom remember, even in the 100,000 million calories. While we can see and hear, we can remember and accept. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with my son.
Buddha, to the Dharma, to the Sangha. I talked a little bit last night about cooking karma. Use the metaphor of the big iron pot in the hara with the water of the spirit in it. The herbs of good and bad karma dropping into it. Everything getting mixed up. All being cooked over the fire of faith and longing for the eternal. And the medicine that cures suffering being made from this mixture. We might think of, you know, a particular big hard knot of karmic pain and confusion. Being brought into this, dropped into this pot. We're sitting there beside the pot, stirring the mixture slowly, gently. So that everything gets permeated with the water of the Spirit. Everything gets mixed up good. Everything can interfuse. I just think of a great big lump of self-judgment and grief dropped into that mixture. You know, it's painful. So it wants to keep popping to the surface. So the stirrer, the person who's stirring the mix, needs to just gently keep stirring so that it keeps being brought down into the center of the pot, all the way down to the bottom of the pot. So that the water of compassion can work on it. We keep feeding the fire. It keeps everything simmering. By continuing to look up spiritually during the meditation. When we're sitting with a great big lump of pain and confusion, you know, it can draw so much energy that it tends to dim that. Diminish that fire. The bigger the lump of confusion and pain, the greater the potential for enlightenment within it. Small doubt, small enlightenment, it said. Great doubt, great enlightenment. These major karmic jangles, these major knots of self-judgment and grief. And that's always what they are. Self-judgment and grief. However else they might manifest, when you get down to it, that's what you're going to find. At the heart of it. Well, each of these karmic jangles is a potential for enlightenment. It's good intention turned back on itself. That's why I like the knot metaphor. I always think of these knots in a hemp rope that get so tight, they get wet and then dry out and they shrink and they just get so that nothing, they're like iron. There's no way you can get them loose, or it seems like it. So I think one of these knots being dropped in this pot and simmered away, and as it simmers away in the herbs, the water of the spirit, it just gets gradually softened. Until finally its fibers start to unravel. As this happens, we feel what's there. And that feeling is very dark indeed. But it's not the end of the world. And one can sit with a great black pain and grief. You know, it doesn't kill us. It doesn't hurt us. Just keep stirring. It'll soften. As it softens, things start to brighten up. Sometimes they soften a bit and all of a sudden they go sproing and unravel all at once. Sometimes it's only over a long period of time. Sometimes it's first over a long period of time and then the last stages are in a big sproinging. Last stages in a big sproinging. The Eternal's got all of that in hand. We don't need to worry about it. So many times we've all recited, if you do these things for some time, you will become as herein described. Then the treasure house will open naturally and you will enjoy it fully. In our minds, in our hearts, we must be careful not to see or view these painful knots, these dark knots, as the enemy. They're not the enemy. They're the potential for enlightenment. Their good intentions turn back against itself that desperately needs help. It's because of them that we were born so that we could do this work. There's no knot. pain and confusion that's too hard, too dark, too pained for the eternal to help it. When they're there, sit with them. Turn the stream of compassion within. Look up.